Huzwan has sprung three massive leaks on three different occasions. And I've had a lot of passengers on that boat. And when it sprung a leak, I turned around and there were two people on that boat. My husband and Mike Riley. We own 3% of the Irish cream liqueur market in the USA.
Okay.
Like, that's time to celebrate. That's time to hang the bunting out. That's phenomenal. That is the greatest liquid this country has ever produced. And we have produced some fine products and fine liquid from Guinness to Bailey's. This beats them hands down. Hands down.
Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. Today, my guest is Mary Sadlier, the brains behind Cool Swan. This is a story of absolute resilience and bringing company right back from the brink to make it a world-leading brand. Here's my chat with Mary. It takes courage and belief in yourself and your business idea to take the step to set up your own business. In the early stages, entrepreneurship can be a lonely road, even through those milestone moments. Deciding to commit to the idea you've been mulling over, learning, growing and developing your skills, building a team to help you along the way, preparing to launch into new markets. Enterprise Ireland is there for all of those startup moments. From providing advice and guidance to new founders through our startup network, to pre-seed funding and early investment, we're here to help bring your ambition to fruition. To find out how Enterprise Ireland can help you on your startup journey, visit enterprise-ireland.com. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share a game changer for your business, Azure Communications. When it comes to print and marketing solutions, these folks, led by CEO Jenny Johnston, are the real deal. Whether you need an eye-catching brochure, sleek business cards, or a full-blown digital campaign, Azure Communications has you covered. They're not just about high-quality prints or digital campaigns, they're also about delivering great results. And here's the best part. Just for listeners of the Entrepreneur Experiment, you can get 20% off your first order. Just give them a call or go online and use the code FOX20. With personalized service and fast turnaround times, Azure Communications will help you make the impact your business deserves. Trust me, when it comes to making your brand stand out, Azure Communications is the provider of choice. Check them out at azurecom.ie. Use code FOX20 and elevate your marketing game today. Nostra, an Irish IT company, offers world-class managed IT services, cloud solutions, IT support, and more, all tailored to meet your business needs. Whether you're streamlining operations or boosting productivity, their expert team is ready to help. Visit nostra.ie or email info@nostra.ie to see how they can solve your IT challenges today. Mary, welcome to the pod.
Thank you very much. Lovely to meet you, Gary.
It is brilliant to meet you. What's your founder formula for success, Mary?
My founder formula is stay ignorant, stay curious, but keep moving forward.
Very succinct. Is that like your motto, your company motto, your personal motto? What is that?
It's a daily motto because it's a daily motto because when you run a business like we do that has a very, very, very thin balance sheet, you've got to have something that motivates you. And the bit about staying ignorant is don't read other people's stuff. That's what we have found. Don't read other people's stories and adventures because you try to fit them over yours. And it's the nuances of your day-to-day activity. I saw a very good analogy one time where they were saying, if you're in a boat, it's only when you look backwards you can see your journey. So keep looking forwards. You know, it's only afterwards you can see the trail. So it's stay ignorant. Just keep asking the questions. The curiosity is keep asking the questions and the keep moving forward is it doesn't really matter what the answer is. Keep your eye on the prize, keep your eye on the prize, keep your eye on the prize. Because if you don't have that North Star, the noise in business is just phenomenal. And people have good intentions. Nobody sets out to say, I had to ring your one up this morning, now really annoy her. It's in trying to help you. But if you don't stay ignorant and you don't stay curious, because they're a lovely combination. You're kind of ignorant,
really like
but curious.
That. Yeah.
And then moving forward is nothing will put you off because everything will put you off. I mean, I came to work, what day is it? Wednesday. I came to work Monday morning and it was like walking in on top of 50 landmines. Stuff that I didn't expect to blew up. Like, oh my God. And you can read too much into it. Did they do that because we're this? And did they do that? No, they didn't. It's just called life and it happens to everybody. It happens to everybody. So just get on, stay ignorant, stay curious, look for the answers and stay looking forward.
I love that because, yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. The noise thing, especially now. And people are always asking me, oh, like, how much prep do you do? Do you like listen to everyone else's podcast? And I'm like, nope. You can see it there. The page is largely blank. I've written one thing. What's the formula? And I've written one other note and that's it. Mm. And that's our conversation. It always kind of throws people. They're like, but do you have a list of questions? Do you have, I'm like, no, because it's a conversation. Mm. And curiosity is my biggest driver because I'm curious about this. We were doing a video yesterday about like how to interview people. And my curiosity is the number one thing. If you're not into what they're saying, it's going to be a terrible interview. Yeah. If you're just doing it to do it, because radio interviews are a perfect example. Producer comes in, hands them the sheet. Good morning, Mary. Yeah, and they ask you these generic banal questions about your business. Oh, and are our times hard now? You know, this crap. Yeah. Whereas I love that. Stay ignorant, stay curious, stay moving forward, especially now. Landmines, what you step on Monday?
What don't you step on? I mean, the biggest issue of landmines for us is there's normal landmines in business. But when you're operating on, we have no muscle. We're in, first of all, we're a single brand company in a portfolio brand market. The big guys we're up against have portfolio brands.
What do you do? It's on over your shoulder.
We make an Irish cream liqueur called Cool Swan. So we're dairy farmers up in County Meath and it's made of whiskey, white chocolate and cream. And we rely very heavily on the taste of this product. This is all about the liquid. That's why we invented it. That's why we created it. It was to create a whole new category in the Irish cream liqueur market. Great idea on paper, totally different experience heading out day one to create that. So we operate on very, very thin margin. So somebody catches a sniff, we get pneumonia. And that's what I have to protect the business against the whole time. It's not that we're not capable. It's not that the brand isn't able. It's not. It's none of those things. It's just you don't have enough muscle sometimes to fight back or to take the hit. So you really just have to keep staying ignorant. Don't let that bother you that you don't have the muscle.
When you say don't have the muscle, what does that mean?
So you'll find, particularly in retail, you'll find that people, pricing, and you'll come to certain cycles in the year, and pricing is very competitive. Everybody can compete in price, but if things don't come right for me on a particular day, say I'm supposed to go live with a particular promotion and we get bumped, for whatever reason we get bumped, somebody else, and we get told, that's really material to me because I've gone and produced product. My product has a shelf life.
Okay.
I have a dedicated market.
Yeah.
Where do I move the 200 extra cases? Because that's material to me. Mm. Now, if you're a big dude, let's mention no names, but if you're a big alcohol brand company and that happens to you, you can absorb it. That's not the stuff you lie awake worrying about. Mm. You lie awake worrying about government regulations. You lie awake worrying about tariffs.
The macro. Yeah.
And you can maybe influence that. I'm down several layers below you worried about, did they actually enact that? Did it happen on Tuesday at 5 o'clock as we had planned? And that's why the staying ignorant and curious and looking forward is so important, particularly for Irish businesses, because I don't believe there's too many Irish businesses operating on huge margins. I think it's a very expensive market in which to do business. And I think we're exporting. Interestingly, we were at a thing in London recently. We're part of this fabulous spirits group out of the UK called Kindred Spirits. And they're all craft, early stage. And there was one in particular, Tarquin Gin, fabulous business down in Cornwall. Really, really good business. And he was one of the speakers on the stage. And he's a big gin and he's all over the UK. And they started talking to him and he was saying, yes, I got myself an export manager. They were sort of asking him what mistakes had he made. Export manager, got an export manager. And, you know, you're talking about export. And anyway, it turns out, finally, he's doing 10% export. Philip and I were looking at each other saying, oh my God, we wouldn't be able to survive on 10% export. We're at
70%.
That's
because the UK market is so big, is that he can survive because he's got the numbers and then the domestic. Whereas you as a native Irish brand have to be export led.
100%.
Okay.
100%. This is a really, tight market. Great market. Great market. We love it. Mm. But you have to export.
I think that's a key learning, because we've a huge amount of food and drink entrepreneurs that listen. I think that's huge, because a lot of people, obviously you start what you know, right? You start with thinking about Ireland. And we're all guilty of this. We kind of think, oh, this is our bubble and we'll start here. We'll get comfortable. I've been guilty of this with the podcast. So for you, if people are listening, they're like, oh, I'm going to start a brand, or I'm a young brand, they should be switching their focus. So where to?
I would say to people, again, ignorant and curious, go to the UK. Brexit, go to the UK.
Brexit is a great example for everything, isn't it? It's a great answer to go, what are you going to do? Throw your hands up in the air and go, Brexit. But like, it's so close. It's such a
and
near
they're
market.
Fabulous consumers, honestly. And they are rich. Like, they have resources, and they really like Irish products. Mm. They have no difficulty. They're very different to us. We have an English distributor. We love them to pieces, but we'll hit a bump in the road. My distributor will say, all right, everybody, we got to build a bridge. We're like, no, we don't have time. We're going to burrow right through it. We're going to get to the other side. We'll be there in 48 hours.
We're going to run through the water. It's
we're
going to
do
deep.
It. Come yeah. on. And they're looking at you thinking, is there something wrong with you? Mm. So that's the only, you have to temper yourself, but they do come with you. You just have to temper how you do it. But no, we love the UK market. Fabulous. Continental Europe is tough. It's very tough. It's still very language based. It's not as progressive as the UK and North America are very similar.
So many variables as well, like yeah. language and even tastes in the country. The taste between Northern Spain and Southern Spain is completely different.
Yeah, and they won't tell you where your product is. They won't give you results. They won't tell you the shops they're in. They're very clandestine.
No.
North America is the other one I'd look at. Alberta, I wouldn't go to, certainly with alcohol, I wouldn't go to Toronto. I wouldn't go to, where else wouldn't I go to Ontario? That's Toronto.
So in, Canada and the US.
Canada's
so
broken
Canada,
up. It's
Alberta.
Got seven provinces. Mm. Go to Alberta first, open market. And then I'd go to North America. And even in spite of what's going to come down the line in North America, it's still a vast market. It's a fabulous market.
And nothing is forever. This is the thing I think yeah. about. Like, nothing is forever. Oh, this, that and the other for the next 4 years. 4 years goes by in a blink.
Yeah.
By the time you even have probably cracked half a state, everything's changed again. That's yeah. that's why I love the stay moving forward thing. Like, people put up so many barriers to their own success. How did you, I guess, go back to the very start. How did this all start? Because it's quite a niche of a niche.
Okay, so I was left holding the baby. I guess that's different to what you asked me. How did it start, right? It started with three founders and a fabulous cream production gentleman by the name of Patsy McKevitt, who owns Terra Manufacturing. His son Sean runs it now, up in Ballyburn, County Cavan. And as I understand it, because I wasn't there at the inception, but Terra was the step-down facility for Bailey's, which was made in Anger Road, but they did make Emmett's and other cream liqueurs.
What's a step-down facility? Was that
just in the event that something went wrong in Anger, they could, you know, they could move production. So there wouldn't be a miss in the heartbeat of getting liquid to market.
Right.
So they could move production to Bailey. That's what I understand. I may be contradicted, but I think I'm pretty on the mark. So the dudes who invented Cool Swan, Patsy had always wanted to create a premium liqueur. And the guys had come out, they were all ex-Bailey's people. And they had come out of Bailey's and there was no premium. Every other category has a premium. Vodka has a premium. Gin has a premium. Whiskey have premiums. Tequila have premiums, rums have premiums, beers even have premiums, right? The craft market. Cream liqueurs do not have a premium. So in 2006...
So premium means like just a higher class, higher price product.
Higher quality, because price and quality sadly do go hand in hand. You know, you do have to pay for that little bit extra, not ludicrous money, but you do have to pay. So they came up with this liquid and Patsy made it. And I got involved more on the finance side. I was actually fundraising for them. And they won everything. It wasn't a week out of the blocks when I suppose the worst and best thing that happened to it was it won the San Francisco Award, which no other Irish brand had won at that stage. It won double gold. It won best in class. Unreal. And I suspect the three boys still had their corporate jobs going. And I suspect they thought, we've hit easy street. This is going to sell itself. And it didn't. So I, in the meantime, had raised funds for them. And one of my investors, an American, good guy, very good guy, he's still involved in the business. He rang me and he said, I'm not happy. This isn't going right. In the meantime, I'd say the going got tough and it became more complicated than people had perceived it would be. And I ended up holding the baby. I looked around and the room was empty. And I said, here, hang on a second, where are you all gone? Wait now. And I was holding the baby. That might be their take on it. But my view was I was left holding the baby to tidy up. There was quite a lot of debt and quite a lot of...
To wrap it up, to take it out behind the barn and put one behind the ear.
Yeah, but the testament to this liquid is it was not for being wrapped up. You were not going to put this baby in a corner. This baby was coming to market. And it has been, I am absolutely dedicated to it now.
So what happened then with you? You were just there, kind of like sitting there going, right, okay, what am I going to do with this? So why did you take it on? Like what was the, because that's a huge jump to kind of go from raising money to just taking on the whole thing.
Because I was ignorant and curious and I kept looking forward. I don't know, maybe the universe, maybe just stupidity. I don't know, but like with three small children, my husband was farming. I went home and said to him, I'm going to step in and do this. I came out of a corporate job. He said, go on, give it a lash.
When was this? Words.
My mum died sadly in June 2011. And just before she died, about a month before she died, there was a really tough meeting held with the founders. And I went in to see her in the hospital. And shortly, that's when I came out and I realised everybody had gone. And I was left there. So that was June 2011. And to be honest, we were going to close it down. I had no real intention of running it, right? Because I didn't know jack shit about the drinks market. Bizarrely, I'd worked in Diageo in corporate finance. I'd gone around the world looking at, it was primarily transfer pricing. They called it corporate finance, but I was the one making the stories up as to why you were holding large amounts of profit in low tax jurisdictions.
Okay.
So I had traveled.
So you had
the world.
A background in finance. You knew what. Arthur
Anderson. I'm a trained accountant, tax accountant. So my background, I did economics in college, and my background is finance. And I was doing corporate finance in Diageo when I met Philip. But Philip is a dairy farmer, sheep farmer. We're farmers up in County Meath. So that kind of lifestyle wasn't conducive really to being on a farm, because farming is 365 days of the year and it's not really, darling, I'll see you in Kuala Lumpur at the weekend. Well, I'm not sure about that. So, and like I say, we've a 22-year-old, 21-year-old and a 19-year-old, and they were all under six when I took this on. So
there's a really interesting point about timing there.
Yeah.
Because we all wait for this perfect golden morning. Everything lines up perfectly. This will be over episode 400. I've never had one of those on the pod. It just doesn't happen. No. And I think that kills. I always say that to people. The thing that kills most businesses is that they never start.
Yeah,
they're waiting for that moment.
Yeah.
They're waiting for I have the money. I have the time. Life is great. My personal life is great. We all think in these neat little boxes, these social media clips of our life. When in reality, it's this. It's like, this opportunity is at the worst possible time, but what can they do?
Yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes the universe forces you into it because
the obstacle is the way.
Because the alternative was to go and get another corporate job, fly around, leave Philip with the three kids. And to be honest, I love living on a farm. I love the lifestyle that comes with farming. So the corporate job wasn't really conducive to what I was enjoying.
Yeah.
How I thought this was, I don't know. But
stay ignorant. You don't know what you don't know, right?
You see, that's just it. Yeah, if I'd have researched it, and I do remember a very good fellow, Paul Murray, I was introduced to him, he gave me a hand, really good bloke, and I remember he Cork fella, and he turns to me and he says, you stupid girl, is there something wrong with you? And I was saying, no, we're going to do this. I have brought in money, I need to get the investors' money back. And he said to me, right, on that basis, I'll give you a hand, but I think you're stupid. And I remember...
At least I like when people are clear about what they... Don't leave me under any illusion of what you're thinking here.
Yeah, fair enough.
Be very honest.
Get off the fence there, Paul. You get splintered.
But I prefer that. Some people we'll see. Or they kind of say yes, but don't. In Ireland, we're very hesitant to say no as a slow no, what we really think or what we really want. Oh. And it's definitely a skill to be able to kind of hone and go, actually, can we just do this?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're all on the same page.
So you'd raise the money. Like, Did you feel beholden to them? Do you feel like you had to do it?
Yeah. I took money off people on the premise they would get money back. Not that some of them, a lot of them are still in. So I'm still here getting, now we did several rounds afterwards and they followed their money. But like I've made a commitment to people. My first commitment was to my shareholders and my shareholders will figure out how to get them their money back. Whether or not, whether we expand or whatever we do next, I don't know. But
are we talking like a large sum of money here?
Oh, by the time I had joined, the guys had raised the guts of 6 million.
Woof.
I brought in another 6. But they that had gone. So listen, building a brand is not easy, and building a category in a brand, building a category within a category is even hardest. And going up against a brand where, going up against a category where the brand is the category is even harder. So there was a lot of obstacles, which looking back, I can only see now. Ignorant, curious, keep looking forward. But I'm ever so grateful I did it because that is extraordinary liquid. I will say to you today, that is the greatest liquid this country has ever produced. And I didn't produce it.
I love the confidence because you very rarely hear that.
That is the greatest liquid this country has ever produced. And we have produced some fine products and fine liquid from Guinness.
I love that.
To Bailey's. This beats them hands down. Hands down. And I am determined that this brand is on every shelf, in every doghouse, outhouse, any house, that it will be there. And if I have, if I'm the last man standing and I'm putting the last bottle up in a lonely bar in Singapore, I'll be there. Because this really, genuinely, this is an extraordinary liquid. It's been thrown off cliffs. It's been run over by trucks. It's been dropped from a height. And every single time, it just picks itself up and keeps going. And I kind of feel now...
You almost feel it has an inner essence, it has an inner spirit itself, like it has this kind of
life
beyond its life.
It really does.
That's special, though, when things have, like, there's something more to it, right? There's something you feel, there's something else there. You can't really even probably say what it is, but you feel there's something driving
the
brand.
It's there, and we're getting closer every day to getting it out.
Yeah. So bring me back to 2011, because these are the bits I love to dig into, because these are the messy bits that people tend to gloss over and kind of go, oh yes, look, you know, 2011, and then 2024, we're here. And you're like, oh, okay, there's a lot of years there. So 2011, day one, what are you thinking? Like, what are you actually thinking on the first day you step foot in your office, if you even had an office? What was going through your head?
Right, lads, you'll all do what I say right now. Oh, no, you're not going to do what I say. Okay, fair enough. What do you want to do? Oh, that isn't going to work. Oh, and that isn't going to work. Okay, what are we going to do? Okay, that was my first day. So one of them was, I had a very big American at the time, a very wealthy guy. And he was like, what are you going to do about this? And
an investor?
Yeah, wanted vengeance on where he had found himself, you know. And then I had the founders sort of saying, if you only gave us more money, we'd have been able to do. And you're like, guys, you know, we don't even have a pattern to this jumper. What can we all just sit down and decide on the type of wool and the pattern that we need? No, okay, nobody wants to do that.
So there's a complete separation of expectations between the investor, what they thought was going to happen, and the founders, what they thought was going to happen. And now you're kind of going, you have this kind of like mixed messaging going on. So had you just to reset everything?
Yeah, totally. And it was torture. 5 years of my life, it was torture. It was torture, only that I have the most wonderful husband. I just don't know how the man put up with it. But it was torture. It was really tough. But then, there were little gemstones in the middle of it. Like that's, and I got to a stage where I had to kind of check the gemstones that I wasn't just misleading myself. So one of the big gemstones was this fabulous gentleman by the name of John Cooney. He was a buyer in Super Value in the Musgraves Group. And I rang him up and he said, you're bloody cools, man. I've taken more of that off the shelf because it has a 2-year shelf life. And to be fair, nobody was wrong in what they were doing.
Okay.
It's just life.
It has to be shifting through quickly.
Yeah, you have
quickly
to move it. So you have to get it on the shelf, then you have to get it off the shelf. So you have two customers when you own a brand. You've got to get it on the shelf, you got to get it off the shelf. So so John was brilliant. And I don't even know, to be honest, to this day, I don't know how I got him on the phone. I don't know how I got him to pick up the phone. I don't even know how I got his number. I don't know how I knew he was the man. I've no link between that and getting him on the phone. And he said to me, right, I'll tell you what, good Waterford man. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a chance. But I tell you now, girl, if you screw up, you'll have me to answer to. And he was wonderfully tough, but so fair. That's a wonderful combination to have in somebody. And he
the expectations, again, it's very clear. You do this and you win. You do this, we don't win. It's when like, oh, we'll give you a shot. For how long? In what way? Yeah, I like this. I think there's a great lesson here for all entrepreneurs listening. That transparency piece.
Huge.
Fair, tough, transparent, clear goals. So what did he say to you then? What did he put to you?
Now you better move that stuff, because if it's sitting on my shelf and it's not moving, I will come after you personally. Because I have got to talk to my super values to get it back in. Because he was telling me these stories. The return of God rest his soul. He just died there a couple of weeks ago. Very suddenly, fabulous bloke. I've always thanked him in articles because just that he was fair. He gave me a shot. And when I go down to meet him, I don't know if he used to do it on purpose. He used to say, and how is White Swan doing? And I was just like, you're doing this on purpose, aren't you?
Just
he
a
was
power
a clever
play.
Man. Yeah, very clever man. And he'd smile away at you. But yeah, he gave the brand the first break. And then there was this fabulous lady, Sarah, in London with John Lewis. And again, I don't know how I got on the phone with her, but it had been stocked in John Lewis. And I explained to her that I was now kind of looking after the brand.
So had it dropped off a lot of shelves, as in like had it been taken off a lot of shelves after this?
North America was a disaster. They'd gotten really good distribution, like really good. And again, lads, it's nobody's fault. It's not a fault. If any fault it is, the dream was too big too quickly. That was the fault. Right. Do you know, put it out there, put it everywhere.
How long was it up and running when you came in 2011?
They'd started conceptual design in 06.
Oh, right.
And they got it to market, I'd say, 09. 2010.
Okay, so there's a bit of time behind it, so.
Yeah, and but we didn't get it back into it was out of the market bar Musgraves and John Lewis for, like, I had an awful battle in North America, because even though North America has 50 states, in the drinks industry, for some reason, it's about 5 people. Everywhere I went, it was the same 5 people. Really? Every state I popped up in. Oh, that's that Cool Swan. We had trouble with that. And you're like, oh, wait till I tell you, it's all under new management. And so anyway, time is a great healer. And but one big decision we made, I also have this fabulous, fabulous business partner. Aside from this, I was running a small little fund with a guy called Mike Riley, brilliant bloke. And if you ever get a chance to get a guy on who can see the future, get Mike Riley on. Very, very clever guy. Bond the slow man, worked in JP Morgan's head of CTO with them. I used to hate it when he and I go into things. And they'd sort of say, and your credentials? I'd say, I worked in Diageo and I did this and I trained in Arthur Anderson. He'd say, yeah, I worked in CTO of JP Morgan. My budget was 8 billion and I managed a staff of 250,000 people.
So you were doing a fund with him as well?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
We raised a small fund to do tech investment. His big thing was tech. That's how I came across Cool Swan, actually. We had put in some money in the early stages, Mike and I, in the from our fund. So and actually we've 3 very good products still out of the fund. We invest in about 7 companies.
Really?
So we've 3 very good ones. But so we were early stage investors. So I've ended up running Cool Swan. He's ended up running a company called SaaSplex, which is this competitor to I'm not even sure what it's a competitor to, but it allows you plug your tech into a platform if you're very small and get onto AI and get onto all the resources very quickly. And then there was another, TenCMS, another company, and that's worth billions now, but we own nothing of it. It's like a very small percentage. And
so how much of a fund did you raise?
3 million.
Okay. So that was about what, companies. The early 2010s? When was the
Yeah,
the
2010.
Fund? Okay.
Yeah. Mike had just come home from the States and he and I had met at an Enterprise Ireland event, I'd say. I was mad keen to do something in the entrepreneurial space and Mike was equally keen. And so we set this up and 3 out of 7, not bad actually.
It's a good hit rate.
And one of them is worth a billion today. It's a play on Adobe. It's run out of London. It has a big, huge Silicon Valley investor behind it. We own a very small percentage of it. But Mike is a genius.
Were you investing globally?
No, just Irish companies.
Oh, okay.
Just three. And we stopped them. When the fund ran out, we stopped.
You both went into new things, or you were...
No, well, I went into Cool, and he stayed. He's still very involved in US tech. He's in the top 0.00% of Mensa, and he was named there recently as one of the top technologists in the world by Forbes.
Going to have to get him on.
Really brilliant guy. Unbelievable. Like, Mike has told me stuff. He told me all about AI about 10 years ago, and I was like, oh, that's mad, Ted. You know, it was, oh, that's mad.
In the future, we'll have flying cars. Yeah.
I said, that's mad, Ted. And then it arrives, and you're like, that's what you told me about. But it feels totally normal.
Yeah.
But then it was like weirdo stuff. But actually,
but I
now,
think that's brilliant. Everyone suddenly thinks AI has just arrived in 12 months because it feels like that, because everyone's talking about it. But like, all technology takes way longer than we think.
40, 50, 60.
We still
years.
Don't have VR goggles. Like, they're heralded for the last 20 years. Like, stuff takes so long. Yeah. I think there's a big myth there. Oh, we missed the boat.
Yeah.
Stuff takes ages.
Yeah. You might miss the commercial boat. And what you do sometimes miss in spaces is guys go in and they grab the market.
Yes. Yeah.
So now, but you see, again, ignorance, stay curious. They grab the market, but they become so big, they now need to feed off the... Yeah.
It's like you with Cool Swan. If you can just grab just 1% or 1% or 1%, you're like, that's €1 million business. Yeah. You know, so there's always other ways to look at it.
Yeah.
So you were doing the fund. You weren't idle. Like, this is it's a mad one then to jump into Cool Swan.
Mad.
Because like managing a tech fund and having, you know, that's probably a... nice, straightforward, you know, goes business.
Yeah.
Whereas then you're like, okay, I'm going to get into one of the hardest games in the world.
Hardest. Honestly, it's layered is the problem. Mm. So we'll only have just gotten the product on the shelf. And then you've got to literally run around the front of the shop and get it off the shelf.
So that's what I wanted. I wrote that down. I want to talk to you about that. So you have to get it on. So that's getting into distributors, like Musgrave's Dunns, all that kind of stuff. And then getting it off. How do you do that?
That's a black art. How do you do it? So, Joe, you know, when we started first, one of the most genius things we did was shows. It's for us, it's liquid on lips. If you can get liquid on lips and get people across the line. But overall, you have to just find out who you are. You have to find a tone. And that's why I love digital. I love social media. You can make a lot of mistakes. But trying to find your tone, if you're trying to find your tone in the Irish Times or a billboard or... you know, the more traditional stuff. It's very expensive, so you put all your eggs in a big basket, and if it goes wrong, I'm back to thin balance sheets, and that's it. You could be out of business.
Yeah.
Digital is fantastic. You can fiddle away there in the background. You can decide on how to build your pipeline. You can spend 3 years on a very low budget putting 20 million into your pipeline, building awareness, and then you can start advertising to them. It's a fabulous. It's been one of the greatest redistributors of wealth. I would say overall, any invention in the world that's come around, from the fire to wheel to mortgages to the internet, it's all freeing up wealth. It's all taking out of the hands of, it's Robin Hood stuff, taking it out of the rich, giving it to the poor. Because there's no way we'd be still in the market if it wasn't for digital. Think about it. There's only X amount of billboards. There's only X amount of paper printed. There's only X amount of magazines. And, you know, business is a dirty game. I play dirty. Everybody has to play kill or be killed. It's if you don't want to do that, don't go into business. Because, and I said that to my daughters the whole time, be kill or be killed. Don't have any other illusions. And by that, I don't mean you're going out the door with a rifle. I mean, don't be caught.
Exactly.
Don't innocently walk into something and say, whoops, but that's unfair. Arm yourself beforehand, because it's the very unfairness of it gives you the gap.
We talked about this earlier. No one owes you anything.
Nothing.
You are not owed anything by anybody. It's not, it's not like going out trying to like knife people in the back. It's going out with the awareness of, I've got to earn everything here. Mm. Especially as a founder, you have to earn every single
win. Nobody is coming. The only thing
Someone's
I have learned...
Someone's coming to save you. Save yourself. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know what the great thing is? If you ask the right question, you will get saved.
Mm.
But it is beholden upon you to ask the right question. People want to help you.
Yes.
They really do want to help you. If you'd have had me in here 5 years ago, I don't know if I'd have been as positive about that, in as much as I don't think I realized that when I began to get my own voice and was able to ask the question, I found the help was like, oh, okay, thanks very much. And you'll do that for me. God, that's marvelous. Thank you very much. And that to me is the greatest wisdom of all. Nobody wants to see anybody drown. Nobody. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, not even down to the most vicious of them. But you've got to ask the right question.
What does that mean?
So you can't just go up and go, nobody can help you when you're screaming at them. So you have to go up and say, okay, I have a proposition. Here's my proposition. Do you think it'll work for you? And you've got to understand, they're not there to make your life easy. They're there to make money. Because they got to feed their kids. They got to feed their shareholders. They got to pay the bank back. We're all in the same boat. But at least if you go up and you try to work with people, you will find people will work back. They might close the door the first time. And yeah, you have to be persistent. But you watch your own behavior and how, as you go up the tree, how you start treating people as they're coming up the tree. You don't have time for tire kickers. And, you know, our eldest girl learned, I have three very phenomenal girls. My eldest girl is particularly phenomenal, but our eldest girl was learning life-saving. And she was about 11 or 12 and she was in the pool in Navan. And she'd got all her badges for swimming, so she decided she was going to do life-saving. And I remember being shocked by the advice when she was on her life-saving, which was, you don't jump in to save anybody if your life is in danger. Mm. And to me, the whole essence of life-saving was, you save that dude's life, you don't think about your own. Oh, yeah. Oh, contraire mon ami. So if the basic tenet of life-saving is you don't jump in if your life is threatened, why, when I am screaming hysterically at my bank manager, would he jump in to try and help me? I will drown him as well, yeah, or her. So why would I do that? Why would I, as the person looking... Now, if you come up to me and give me a reasoned proposition as to why I would tell you my life story or why I would... See me, I'm here. I will tell you, because the proposition was correct, the format was correct, the offering
was
correct.
There's a value exchange.
Yeah,
I always say everybody's got a boss.
Yeah.
Everybody. Mm. You know, and by that, I don't mean if you're self-employed, obviously your boss is your customer. But when you think of it in those terms, going... Mm. What makes this person's life easier? Mm. How can I make this person's life easier? And what value am I bringing?
Yeah.
Like, business is just a simple exchange. Have you created value?
Yeah.
Have you created beautiful liquid? Yes. Yeah. Okay, great. I'll buy it. You know, if you're like, I've created liquid, it's all right.
Yeah.
Some value there because you're competing with everybody else.
Yeah.
I think there's a really beautiful lesson there. So how is it about creating the right environment, the right value proposition to them, going, this is a win-win position because... Like, how were you explaining this to partners who'd been burned before?
You showed them, look where we're going. Look at how big the prize is. Look, and that's the issue for us. The prize in this thing is massive. Like, we've seen off quite a few brands who've attempted the premium space and they just haven't cracked it. and the premium space is a little different. It's not premium because of price, and it's not premium because you can put any old muck on a bottle and convince the consumer. The consumer isn't stupid. That's the one thing I can tell you, right? What we have discovered is getting access to the consumer is the difficult bit. So getting the distribution is hard, very hard. And that's the bit that will suck up all your time. So if I had any advice for anybody, if I would just say go deep, not wide. Like, go in and prove it. Then go out.
Mm.
And go in and prove it again and then go out. But I'm not saying go in and prove it and then prove the whole of Ireland works. I'm saying we did Ireland and the UK was open, and we had a couple of, they were in 50 states. So I went from the bizarre position of having to close down 50 states to just opening 5 or 6. But we are, Nielsen's picked us up last year. To get on a Nielsen's report out of the US is massive. We're now, so we're only in 5 states, right? But we're now we own 3% of the Irish cream liqueur market in the USA.
Okay.
Like, that's time to celebrate. That's time to hang the bunting out. That's phenomenal.
What does the Nielsen report thing mean?
So Nielsen is like, do you know, it's one of those third party independent reporters who take till results. Or
yeah.
In this instance, it was till sales. They take till sales from across the United States. And considering the dominant brand owns 86% of the market, to own 3% is pretty impressive. Right? Mm. I just want to own 9%. Now, I only own 3%. I'm in 5 states. So which means is...
The maths work there. If we can math that out for the next 45.
If we can make it there, make it. You know, so we've made it in those 5 states.
Yeah. Well, you've proved the model, isn't
it?
It's a playbook. Like, I always talk about playbooks because I like neat, simple answers to things. There are playbooks to business.
Yeah.
You know, you now have your playbook for 5 states.
Yeah.
So the Nielsen thing then, is that like, you have to reach a certain volume. And then, like, I suppose, is this what you read in the paper? It's going, oh, last year X was up 4%. Is that kind of stuff?
No, Nielsen's is deeper than that. Up 4% on case sales and stuff. What the Nielsen's report is, they weighted your sales. So I was compared against every cream in the market.
Okay.
But they weighted my sales. So the Americans have a great phase. It's called map lighting. So if you're in 50 states, but you're doing 100 cases, that's map lighting.
What's that
mean? You've turned up in every state.
Oh, right. Oh, map lighting.
Close one is in 50 states.
Okay.
How many are you selling? 50 cases in each state. But I'm doing okay. There's 50 states. So my volume. So your volume looks good. Your volume looks good until you divide it by the number of states.
Okay, now you're like, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Where's your customer base? Does it stick at that price? Who is the customer? You don't know enough when you're map lighting.
It's like when people say, oh, we have an office in London, New York and Paris, but they're actually just postboxes.
Yeah.
They're not really there.
Yeah. Okay. See, that's what the Yanks call map lighting. I love the Americans for phrases. Yeah. It's a great expression. So we didn't want to map light, obviously. You need patience of Job to map light for a start, because people never stop giving out. And 50 states at 50 cases need the same amount of work as one state with 5,000 cases. It's very draining.
And you're spreading yourself thin, I would imagine.
Thin. And then you have to hire staff. And when you don't have a balance sheet, forget taking on staff. Staff come, I get it. Staff come, I'm a human too. There are days you don't want to go to work. There are days and, your granny is sick, your mother's sick, the dog is eating your homework. Like, there are days like that, we all get them. You know, you need time out. But when you're on part of a small team, we just don't have that margin for error. We don't have it.
Mm.
So I keep the team really tight, like really tight.
It's interesting you said that. I was at a dinner last week and it was kind of a high level-ish thing. And like, people don't really get the podcasting media space, especially if they're more traditional. This guy was very traditional. He turned to me and he was like, okay, so what do you do? And I was like, oh, it's kind of easier to explain the media. I'm a media company. Oh, and what does that mean? Oh, well, we have a podcast and we have other things. Oh, okay. How many staff do you have? That was his second question. I was like, they're all contracting. I was like, why would I hire loads of staff? He's like, he instantly, the shutters just came down, glazed over, and he literally just turned back to the other guy, started talking to him. I was like, you don't get it. The world has changed. Mm. Like after COVID was horrific. But there's going to be a new breed of entrepreneurs coming out here who are nimble, who are lean, agile.
Yeah.
You know, like your Cool Swan model, who are like going, I can do a lot with a little here.
Mm.
Mainly because I have to.
Mm.
But also when you kind of go, it doesn't really make sense to hire someone for 50 hours a week when I really need them for 8. That's the old model. The world's changed.
Mm.
A lot of traditional businesses haven't seen this.
Mm-hmm.
His metric of success was, how many staff?
Mm.
I can't think of a worse metric.
I was reading something recently, the Harvard Business, they do a very good magazine, the Harvard Business School of Business. You get it there in Easton.
Oh, the Harvard Review, yeah.
Yeah, it's very good. I get it online. And they were saying that in America at the moment, productivity is through the floor. So they're reckoning that companies are only really operating at about 65%, and sick leave, sick days, days in lieu, they call it actually, are the biggest problem that they're facing in the labour market, right? So I'm up against businesses that can need only operate at 60% and they don't have to worry about that. That's my competitive field.
Their buffer is probably 50% really, whereas your buffer is
zero.
Zero or one.
Zero. So like somebody said to me recently, would you never take a week off? I say, see, the thing is, right, I'm juggling knives every day of the week. I'm never sure what knife is going to fall and when it's going to fall, but I got to be there. So if I'm off for a week, that knife could literally fall and splice my business in two. Now, it's getting better. It's getting better every year. Like I say, this our last 3 months, the first time we made profit. And I had a great lecturer in college who used to say to us, profit is for vanity, but cash is for sanity. And that never left me as a motto. So I'm always in cash. I'm never out of cash.
Mm.
Always in cash. And I manage it very tightly. I'm very grateful for my accountancy training. Very grateful.
Mm.
Because the problem with accountancy is there isn't one form of accountancy. There's multiple forms. There's your P&L, audit accountant, right? Then there's your management accounting. Then there's your finance accountant. Now that dude is very interesting because they do upside down and inside out mathematics. 2 and 2 never equals 4 in the world of finance. But you tell that to your audit accountant and you'll have to resuscitate them. I'd say, excuse me, come back to me. No, seriously, 2 and 2 doesn't equal 4, right? because audit accountants are, my sister did the BCom in UCD. She's only about 11 months younger than me. And she's a great character. And I remember in her final year, she did a thesis and her opening line was, to err is human, to err on the side of prudence is accountancy. And that's your auditor. So 2 and 2 equals 3 for an auditor. Cannot equal 4, just in case. So you're working that spectrum of the 2 and 2 never equals 4 for anybody, right? Mm. Management accounting is you as a management trying to tell the story of the business. The auditor wants to come in. He'll always lowball it and try to get it in at really awful numbers, just in case. And then you got the finance guy who's making silk jumpers out of grass, man. And you're looking at it thinking, how are you living in that big house and driving that big car? Because 2 and 2 doesn't equal 4, that's why. And so you've got to be very skilled at each of those aspects of the business, and you've got to be able to come between them. And that's why I think often accountancy gets a really bad name. You know, because people get afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Knowing your numbers is key. It really is. And it's a very, I would call it commercial. Be a very good commercial person. And you'll carry, that's when the three of those converge. Those three forms of accountancy converge, is right at the point of your commercials. So I'm beginning to find more and more companies are, they've got commercial managers, not finance, not sales managers even. They've commercial managers. Commercial management is becoming a much bigger part of business now. But I'm finding that I'm really grateful for that now, because I'm able to navigate things, but I always stay in cash. But it is getting a bit easier, but it's a tough business. Being in business is a tough business. But don't be put off by it. It's fantastic. But if you're going in because you have this expectation, because that's the other thing I would say to people, if I regret something, and I'm not a regretter because I think I've learned from everything, is if I regret something, the one and only thing I would say I regret is going into work saying, yes, by Friday we will be here. Don't set stupid expectations. Just keep looking forward.
Yeah, control the controllables. Yeah. It's that magic balance between setting really ambitious goals that drive you and push you, because not being too comfortable, but then also not kind of trying to go from 1 to 100 in like a month. That's experience too, though, isn't it, Mary?
It's experience, and it's also your business. You got to go with your business. Do you know? So, If you had one North Star, it is, don't run before you can walk.
What's your North Star in Cool Swan?
Keep your eye on the prize. The prize for this thing is just ludicrously big.
What is it?
It's a huge market. It's worth over 200 million a year. I mean, we've proven it. And now the exciting part of my job is, how do I get there? I finally carved open the opening. I'm right at the opening. And it's really exciting to kind of look at it and say, how do I get there? And we're beginning to do some fantastic stuff without extra budgets, because our partners trust us. And that's the funny thing about business. There's tremendous trust. So while we have to get it on the shelf, if you can accept that getting it on the shelf, some guy has to take a risk on you. So it's not a matter of, I deserve to be on the shelf. This is the best liquid in town. Sorry. Does this face care? Will you make me money? Do you fit in with my overhead? And then you're often playing in the dark where they don't tell you what their overhead is. Mm. Right? If you knew everybody's business model, you'd be minted tomorrow morning, because you'll always find a way in. There's always somewhere for you.
I think it's interesting to just pick this apart a bit, because 2011, so you're at this, 13, nearly coming up on 14 years now?
Yeah.
And you're just saying, I can see the opening now.
Yeah.
How have you managed to survive and get to this point? Because I think if people looked at you from the outside, and I appreciate your frankness, because I think if people looked at you from the outside, me and Ben were just joking about this earlier, the veneer of success on the outside on social media, they see it on the shelf. Oh, Mary's met it. Oh, wow. Cool Swan is everywhere. People say to me, oh, you're everywhere. I'm like, yes and no. So people probably look at you and go, oh yeah, they met it. They're in. Because success is relative. If they see you in your local Super Value, that's success.
Oh no, you're mental.
Because they're in Ratigar. But you're like, oh, I want to be in like Arizona and Phoenix. So how have you managed to sustain not only the business, but yourself? Because you said something there about not taking weeks off. How have you managed to sustain yourself?
I'm very lucky. I'm married into a farming family. So farming is 365 days a year. My husband doesn't view this. We live our life with our business. We don't do the whole, put your business over there, like we're compartmentalizing it because you've got to go to Spain for a month, or we don't do any of that. And he wasn't raised to that. And I'm, my mum was a farmer's daughter, even though I was raised in Black Rock in Dublin. We were a farming stock. So you lived your life. You lived the misery, you lived the successes, you just lived your life. And you got the quality out of that. So I'm very lucky because I didn't have that kind of expectation of we'd have, you know, by this year, or we'd have to drive a big car, or we'd have to do. And we've had no real pressures. I live in Navan. I live just on the outskirts of Navan, between Navan and Kells. What a great place to bring up kids. My kids went to a local school. I also had young children, so I was tied anyway. You know, we weren't going to go very far. And then I suppose my husband is really a really good bloke, and we're yin and yang. I often say to people when they ask me, I say, see, I jump off cliffs, Philip comes out with the parachute. That's how we complement each other. He'd never jump off a cliff. I'd never look for a parachute. So we're just the perfect combination. But I'm very lucky, and mentally I'm very strong. And also, I really believe this is my fourth child. Like, and then do you know what I do? I read an awful lot of people's stories as to how they got to where they are. So I look at people. We have a neighbour who's got very sick, two very sick little kids. Like, they're in wheelchairs and they're 24/7. And I say, really, I'm giving out about 24/7 with the business.
It's all around, everything's context.
And that's the thing. I don't read other people's success stories. I look at people who are living their success stories.
Mm.
You were living a life and bringing this child to school and helping us all to live with people who are very different. And you're not giving out. What the hell am I giving? I have three very healthy children. Yeah. I have a fabulous family. My own brothers and sisters are brilliant. Philip's brothers and sisters are fantastic. His mother is amazing. I have no hardship in my life. I really don't. The people I interact with in business are really good. Some of them are. They can be a bit nasty, but you'll wear everybody down if you set out to do it. Stay ignorant, stay curious. You'll wear people down.
I think that's the great way to live your life, though, because so many people live their life as if they're on this invisible railway tracks and they've no choice. And I drive my wife mental because anytime someone's complaining, I go, that's a choice.
I believe that.
That's a choice. Yeah. And I till I'm blue in the face, that's my thing. It's like, that's a choice. That's a choice. Yeah. They made the decision. That's a choice. Yeah. Sometimes, because it's the things in life you don't plan. It's the sick kid, or it's the bolt out of the blue that just, you're like, you said the landmines there, and it just resonated with me straight away. I'm like, yeah, it's never the things you think are going to come for you.
No.
It's that call on a Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. where your whole world just turns upside down. And it's those things. So I think being able to live in the moment of Trump deciding.
Was it 2018? He decided to bring in tariffs.
Mm.
Until the day I die, I'll never forget it. 6:30 in the morning, the news goes on. I woke up. Philip was in Colorado, right? On a trip for business. And I woke up and the news came on. And there will be a tariff now on Irish cream liqueurs. I was like, excuse me, what? A what on what? Who the what? When did that happen? Who brought that up? Jumped out of the bed, sent Philip a text. He was still up, I think. We were like, where'd that come from? Philip, where's the stock? It's on a boat on its way in to New York. It hasn't landed yet. And the tariffs always come in immediately because otherwise you'd stockpile. So all the notice he's given at the moment is right pain in the arse.
Because this is really interesting because I think people, we don't really understand this because I hear and I'm like, I have a fair idea what's going on, but I love to talk to you about this because the tariffs, right? What is that? Because it's nonstop at the minute. Tariffs. What is that? So your stock is on the way over. Mm. Explain it in like real simple terms to
me. I'll tell you.
Pass Matt's here. Give me a real simple
example. We had 1,000 cases on the sea and we had to find $80,000 before we could land it in North America.
So the tariff was plus 80,000.
Yeah. Whew. Till the day I die, Gary, I will not know how we found that 80,000. That's what I'm telling you. If you keep looking forward and you ask the right question, I phoned everyone I could think of. But if you phone one person and say, well, I wasn't lucky, it just didn't happen. That's down to your energy and your drive. Yeah. And then if you're not ignorant enough to, I'm absolutely ignorant and stupid. Ignorance is a nice word, but stupid enough to believe that I will see this on every shelf in every bar, that this brand deserves to be there, that this market is huge and we will get there. I'm ignorant enough to believe that. Nobody can stop me. Mr. Trump is a really good example. Like, who thought he'd make president?
But he kept going. I got annoyed last week and everyone was like hand-wringing. I wrote about it in a newsletter this week. It's like, oh, everyone wringing their hands on social media. Oh, it's terrible. like, just stop. Just put down the Instagram. Just step away. What can you do today for yourself?
That's it.
I wrote a big, long, like 800,000-900,000 piece word on it. I was like, just stop looking at everyone else for the answers. Like, stop. And people are like moaning on social media. They're the same people who won't vote in the Irish election because they're all the same. You're like, you can't be just, it doesn't affect you.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not going to affect you. Exactly.
May never
so why are you spending hours out of your day worrying about something? I'm like, great that you have such little concern to bother you that you don't actually have to like keep your business alive or bring a sick kid to school or whatever it is. I just think there's a real sense of like entitlement that people are entitled to have like,
you know, the worst
this imaginary candidate win.
But you lose out so much on just living your life. Like, I have a great life, but my brain is going. I'm dealing with real questions every day of the week. I have tremendous energy from that. There's so much colour in this world, and you shut it down when you start engaging in the big picture of everybody else's problems. Like, I'll say to my girls, do you know there's a child in Syria at the moment who's watched their parents being burnt to the ground? They are taking across the desert at 8 years of age on their own. They will come to the UK potentially and possibly become one of the greatest neurosurgeons in the world. Now, you tell me how that happens. How does that happen? Where's the playbook for that? I tell you how it happens. They take it step by step.
Yeah.
They ask at each step to get the hand up to the next step. And on we go.
I was in the sauna last week. And I go in there to chill, right? They're recovery sessions for me. I'm training in the morning. I'll try jumping the sauna in the evening if I can. I was sitting there. I went in and there's these three people having this big thing about Trump. And I just had my hands over my head like that. And I came back out and I came back in and your man turns to me and goes, and what do you think, huh? I said, it's very simple. I said, if you can do something about it, do. If you can't, shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah.
And he just laughs. He goes, yeah, fair enough. But and that was the end of the conversation.
But the shock and wisdom in that, that I don't think we're listening to.
Yeah.
Like, think about that kid that's going, that Ukrainian child, that child that's in a war-torn. You watch them on the TV. I've become neutral to it now. These bombs going off all over the place. You think of some of those kids that'll get out of Gaza and will end up being possibly looking after you in your old age, possibly the person you'll rely on. And you may never know their story. How did they get there?
Yeah.
How do they get from that to that? The great American dream. How do you do it? One step at a time, my friend, you do it.
I think people need to experience the world a little bit more to go out. So I spent time in Syria and Beirut. And I've seen this firsthand. I've seen how people live in these camps and I've spent time with them. I'm like, that's true understanding when you go there and see it through their eyes. When you're just like watching the news and you're like posting your thing on social media and changing your thing to a flag. I'm like, oh, this virtue signaling thing. I was just do something about it for yourself. Start at home, save yourself before you save the world. I want to talk to you because I like to break it down into business, body and brain. You seem incredibly switched on in your brain in terms of energy and focus and drive. How do you balance the brain and the body in terms of the business? So like you seem very naturally driven, but what do you, can you break that down as to what you do day to day to look after yourself, your brain, your body?
Yeah, so outdoors. I'm always outdoors. Very lucky. Live in a farm, so I'm invariably out for some reason, but I'm always outdoors. Nature. Nature. Just look at a tree.
Forest bathing.
Yeah, it really is. It's unbelievable. I remember a very good friend of mine, George Cagney, when we were in college together, he did science. And when we were in college together, Jerry used to say, we'd sit out by the water and he'd say to me, water's really positive, really important for well-being. And he said, it's because there's always free negative ions floating off the water. And if you're feeling negative, they combine together to make a positive. And I think that's why I'm drawn hugely to water. So we live on a river, like, and my husband and I do the Boyne twice a week.
What do you mean?
We walk it, or we run it. It's a beautiful walk in just outside Navan, but the Boyne is an extraordinary river. I mean, it's the basis of most Irish folklore from the knowledge, or the salmon of knowledge, the children of Lear, they're all centred around the Boyne. But so I'm always outdoors. Every morning, I'm out for an hour for a walk. I wouldn't miss it. It's for my mental health. If I have a chance to walk somewhere, I'll park the car and walk. I'll walk. I walk, walk, walk. I talk. I don't keep my opinions in. I have my children worn ragged. So I think it's very important to hear yourself don't lock yourself in with your thoughts.
Yeah.
If I garden, I love my garden. Not very well because I'm not always available to it. So I grow things like rhubarb and onions and stuff that grow themselves. very low maintenance. Rhubarb is great.
Yeah, we've rhubarb and apples in the garden.
Oh my God.
And they just grow like we do nothing. And then this year, it was the first year we kind of properly engaged because my daughter was like, apple tree. And I'm like, I don't even know where you got those words from. But yeah, it's an apple tree. Let's go enjoy it. And pull it. Because every day we'd pull an apple off. And I was like, it was weird. It was the first time I ever properly just stopped and went, how mad is that?
Yeah.
Apples are just grown in our garden. Now, thank God they need zero maintenance because...
they wouldn't survive otherwise.
They wouldn't live.
Yeah, no, Philip is a great
I hit the rhubarb with the strimmer more often than I actually go and pull it.
Man, gooseberries, rhubarb. Anything that takes off on its own, it's welcome in my garden. I grow a lot of beetroot, garlic and things that just, once you plant them, they're done.
So nature movement,
yeah.
Talking, getting it out there.
And I don't eat a lot. I'm not a big grubber. I don't like big meals. I don't indulge. I'm not
so
a big
grubber.
You feel
better on less? Is it little and often?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do way better with as little. I don't not eat, but I'm not a big meal person. I don't eat sandwiches. I don't eat. And not because of any moral obligation for them. I used to say, when I was younger, I'd say, eating is cheating. So in as much as, I don't know whether it was, you slow yourself down, but I'm fortunate I don't need a lot, but I eat very clean. But that's just totally, now I have terrible, we have a great chipper locally. And when I go into Mary, I don't eat clean there, but she's brilliant. But I eat clean and I stay very engaged in my community. And not in any kind of, I'm up there at the front of everything. It's just, I'm out and about and I make sure I'm in the town, I meet the traders, we swap stories.
It's one of the biggest indicators of long life is a positive community.
Yeah.
Engagement and a positive community is one of the biggest, like all these studies come out. You kind of have to take some of them with a pinch of salt, but it's kind of the common logic of like, yeah, that makes sense. I might connect it to where I am.
And it's one thing I realised when, we live in a rural parish, right? So I used to bring, I have girls. So we, up until recently, believe it or not, there was no women's GAA. I have a 22-year-old and a 21-year-old. There was no women's GAA for them. Mm. My 19-year-old was just getting it. So we used to go to mass with them. And people say, why are you going to mass for? I'd say, so my girls know who their neighbours are. There's no other way they would know. Because we're not down at the GAA pitch. We're not down at the... So
you need an anchor, yeah.
You do. And I think we threw out a lot in our community and we owe a lot to things like the GAA. Communities are very important. I wouldn't underestimate the power of them. And the more we urbanise, the more we fracturise that community piece, you know. And the community will protect the environment because that's... I have a real bugbear about this constant blaming of cows for animals. Listen, concrete is, if we're going to blame
bigger problems in the world than farming, but it's because it's an easy target though. You know?
Yeah, and farmers are individuals. They're not they don't have a collective voice. And I get it.
People always want a bogeyman. That's what
I'd agree with you.
People want a bogeyman. They want to point at that one thing and go, wrong.
Wrong.
Right.
Wrong. Yeah.
People want very simple solutions to very complex problems.
Yeah.
And climate is, without a doubt, the perfect example of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And all our solutions are totally wrong. And I say to my girls, listen, the world is once covered in ice. Of course it's heating up. Like, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to believe that, right? But you know, I saw a thing recently on National Geographic where one of those forest fires in California, and it had ripped through, annihilated the red oaks or the red cedars, the sequoia trees had been burnt. Mm. And then National Geographic did this kind of sequencing of the growth in the 3 years immediately afterwards. And the environment came back lusher, richer. You sometimes think, how much of this is us preserving the way we live rather than preserving the environment?
The humans always go in and interfere with environments that have been there. And then we're kind of, it's like when you look at like Florida and stuff, you're kind of going, all those kind of floods and stuff and have always happened, and hurricanes have always happened. It's just that we've now moved into their way. Mm. And these ones, I read this great book recently and it was talking about statistics, and it was like, you know, once in a lifetime things happen every day. And I was like, it was just, it framed, it framed it perfectly. Because they're like, think of the millions of people, think of everyone's lifetime, think of this one mad thing that happens every day. Now multiply that by 6-7 billion, you're like, yeah, actually, when you just step back.
Yeah.
But I think It's because we are now connected to everything. So social media is unbelievably good. I think it's...
But great. I think it might go back to a point you were making earlier, which is we're almost too engaged in the bigger stuff. Like,
that's exactly what I was going to say, is that we know everything now.
Yeah.
We know when there's an earthquake in Taiwan. We know when there's this like massive flood in like Miami. People are engaged going, oh my God, this hurricane. And everyone's like watching 24-hour news, watching on TikTok. It happened in real time. No matter what happens in the world now, you can go to TikTok and someone will have videoed it. And like, it's this mad environment whereby we live in this like media world whereby we now can see everything. We can see everything happening in real time. And I think it's just skewed our impression of things getting worse. Everything's worse.
100%.
Lifespan is way longer. Standard living, way longer. Even in Ireland, we talked to this off camera. It's through the roof.
Mm.
Like, and there is, look, I'm not saying there isn't problems, but when you, if flat, freeze frame now and go back 20 years, 30 years, they wouldn't recognize Ireland.
No.
Like, I'm 41 now, not exactly ancient, but like when you go back 30 years, like my parents, that would have been a completely different Ireland.
I'm in my 50s. You go back to our time, like, do you know, our Black Rock used to close for religious events. Like the whole village would close. Shops used to close on a Sunday. Nothing was open. I remember only for Dunn's Doors. I'm not sure there would have been a child in the country dressed. $9.99, wasn't that the cleverest pricing model? Because it was really, you were still using the word nine.
Yeah.
You hadn't gone to 10. You were $9.99.
Yeah.
It's just the cleverest thing to do. So yeah, the world has changed, but that's why you need, because it hasn't really, and that's why you need to stay ignorant, curious, and stay going forward, because it hasn't really changed. I have a real gripe with that sentence. People say, in this day and age, sorry, but your man back in the cave was at the height of modernity at that time.
It's all relevant. It's context. Everything's relevant.
Really is.
Like, we talked
like
about
before
it.
The wheel, people were saying, at this day and age, how could you imagine that happening? Like, we'll be saying stupid things in 20 years' time that you can't believe. Like, I do remember as a kid, I always remember the phone. My mum had two brothers living down in County Limerick, and we used to the exchange was Kilfinan 625, and a woman say, hello, where do you want to be connected to? Brough 729, I'll connect you now, or will you take a call? And I was in my 20s with that. And then I remember when, do you remember those American movies, they'd be able to go around the house with the cable on the phone, they'd be able to have the phone in the kitchen.
Oh yeah, the big long extension, the Sopranos and stuff. Yeah.
Oh my
gosh, or he did the little aerial one. Yeah, yeah.
Then that was the next one. My father came home from the UK
portable
with one
phone.
Of them.
Yeah.
And you could pick it up and walk around the house.
Yeah.
It wasn't the phone in the freezing cold hall.
Yeah.
And then it was the mobile phone. Can I just tell you, that all happened without me losing a moment's sleep, without me being concerned about what was going to happen to the oceans.
Humans
without,
are the most adaptable thing in the world.
Yeah.
Mobile
Stop
phone,
worrying.
2008, running 2024 now.
Yeah.
We'll all be okay.
And ask for help. Frame your question. Think about the question. Think about what you're looking for. Ask for help. Because it's there. I'm telling you now, I don't know where we got the 80 grand. I don't know how I got from 2011 to 2014. I don't know how I got on Nielsen's report this year. I don't know how any of those things happen. All I know is I stayed ignorant. I stayed extremely curious. And I kept moving forward. Mm. That's all I can tell you, was the consistent theme in how we got to where we are today. And I cannot complain about where we are today.
So what does the next couple of years, we've just talked about, you can never really predict, but you obviously clearly have a plan. What's the next like couple of years looking like for Cool Swan?
We've only just formulated this plan. We used to write our numbers with big, big numbers. You know, we're going to get here. So we were writing the dream. We were writing the ultimate size of the market and thinking we could get there in 4 or 5 years. That became a really frustrating path because there was no reason, same with anybody, there was no reason you don't get there. Because there's 100 reasons you don't get there. Like the guy didn't call you back on Tuesday and you lost 3 weeks, or you overproduced and now you had to sell through this so you lost a year, or COVID hit. And there's 100 reasons why the things don't work for you at that given time. But the bigger, if you treat life, my brother-in-law said to me once, if you treat life like an elephant, he said, don't eat it all at once, or treat a problem like an elephant. And it's really good advice, you know. Yeah, break it down bit by bit. And so when we started...
Do you say that's the secret to your success? It's like these little tiny chunks every day.
Yeah, that I can control. Do you know, I'll go back today now and I know I have my Christmas volume sold in. Now, I will, before the week is out, be told of an opportunity where I could sell yet another 1,000 cases. I say, thanks very much, and I close the door. And I say, I have my volume sold. Is it moving off the shelf? And where's my volume for H2? That's all I'll do. And in my volume for H2, I'll start saying, let's not conquer the world. Let's make what we're doing so wildly profitable that we will have a bit of a cushion, okay? And we're close to that now. But the bit that I'm now beginning to see that I didn't factor in when I decided to make this wildly profitable was suddenly you've got credibility. And with credibility comes doors opening and people saying, would you like? So we opened Illinois this year. Binny's is their biggest distributor. But Binny's, through sheer weight of demand from the customer, needed to get Cool Swan in. Binny's needed to get Cool Swan on the shelf. So I get a phone call. I was like, no, thank you. I don't need Illinois. It's not in my plan. No. What do you need to get in here? I need the following three things. I got given them. I was like, okay, that's weird. That's weird, but I'm going with it. So we supply, because we have the infrastructure. I have the infrastructure built, right?
So that's a case of, what does the perfect outcome look for here? Ask for the perfect outcome. If you get that, great. If not, maybe it's a no for now. Is that how you think about it?
I think about it as I have a plan to live within my means and to be the best I can be at that. And I've discovered, now, we have a really good base, so don't get me wrong. I couldn't have started from here. We had to invest. There was noise we had to get over to dislodge one row of cream liqueurs to get us on the shelf takes so much work. Because this is real estate. They're giving you real estate, right? One thing retailers don't like doing is taking you on and off a shelf. They don't like taking out brands and putting in new brands. And remember, we're not an on-trade brand, which is where most alcohol is built.
What does on-trade mean?
The bars, where you drink it on the premise.
Okay,
restaurants,
so you're
bars.
Only sold in...
We're off. You take it off retail. Home. Yeah, you drink it off the premise. So...
Why is that?
Just because the category had built that way. So I was in a restaurant on Friday and I said to the guy, a Michelin star restaurant, I said, you don't have Cool Swan. He said, to be honest, we don't have a huge demand for cream liqueurs. I also had a situation where I'm trying to get on an airline and they were like, we had to discontinue the world's most popular cream liqueur because nobody was buying it. Yeah, because you can't drink it. So you can drink ours though.
Is it very seasonal?
Ours?
Cream liqueur in general?
No. It's been made seasonal, same way cider was made seasonal. Remember, I'm up against portfolio brands. Yeah. We're very happy to have a Christmas.
When you think of cider, you think of summer. Mm. Yeah, fair, yeah.
But that's because they're within portfolios. So remember, portfolio
brand.
So
they have their winter brand, their summer brand. It's all making sense now.
But it's nothing to do with the brand or the consumer.
Yeah.
Now, they'll train the consumer, but the consumer, we're liquid ice cream. Like, think about it. You can drink us in the summer.
That's a good framing. There you go. Know, there's the next
I'll tell you
a
better
campaign.
Framing. I was standing in Dublin Airport a couple of weeks back and a man, I was at the stand. I was on my way to London. I was at the stand and a man comes up and tips me on the shoulder. And I turned around and he said, very respectable gentleman, he said to me, you ever tasted that? And I said...
You were standing in front of your stand?
Yeah. And I said, I just said, no, is it good? Liquid cocaine. That's what that is.
Okay.
Liquid cocaine. And he took two bottles.
No way.
And I thought, yeah, okay, whatever you're having yourself.
Unreal.
I said, I won't
take
that
two more.
Marketing, but...
yeah, liquid ice cream would probably get you...
Yeah, liquid ice cream.
Instagram will probably accept that.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't get the cocaine on it. No, So my job now is to really maximize what we have and to allow the doors to open and to not disturb the momentum we've built, to really just keep on at the momentum we've built.
Compounding takeover.
But be very careful. Don't push the momentum. And it's trying to get that balance right is what I'm at now.
Is that feel?
Feel, yeah. Feel, gut. And hold it. Go. It really is. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And just don't wear big boots. Don't start getting stupid. Like, don't start getting arrogant. Don't start thinking you know everything. Be ignorant. Stay curious. And the curiosity piece is the most interesting bit because you've ever seen I remember once somebody saying to me, you should live your life like a five-year-old in a Batman suit. Have you ever seen them at the traffic lights with their parents? They're like jumping and they're like, life's great. And they see a leaf and they're like, oh my God, mommy, it's a leaf. It's like you with your daughter in the apple tree.
Yeah.
And like, if you can see the world like that, that is what the world is like. The rest of
if
the noise.
If you choose it, right? That if yeah. you choose it. And I think it's blocking out noise.
It is. Yeah, it is.
But kids are great
noise.
Like that, because she has really reframed how I think about things in a real cheesy way. But like, you forget about these things. Everything becomes normal.
Yeah.
Like I've said this to people recently, is that one of the beauty about having a young child is that you see things for the first time again.
Yeah.
You've seen things a million times and you get to experience things for the first time again. And I'm loving that. I'm loving that, experiencing things for the first time again through her eyes, because, you know, we took her to like a Man United match and they're like, oh, she won't remember. And I was like, yes, but I'll remember I took her. Yeah. I'll remember I took her to this. Yeah. I'll remember we did this. And keeping that going throughout her life is like, yes.
And actually, as they get older, there's the stories they love. I remember when you did this. Do you, mommy? And was I really like that? Yes, I remember it. My mommy said that I was. It's still minor,
but
22, 21.
When I think, when I do this, or when I get there, I'll do that.
Yeah.
No. What are you doing today?
Yeah.
Bring it back today, because like, you know, I went to see Ryan Holiday last week. He's a writer on the Stoic things. And he was saying, you know, memento mori, remember you'll leave this earth.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then he's like, not in a gloomy way.
Yeah.
In a more of like, be here today. Be here right now. Yeah. Be here in this seat, just having this conversation.
But looking forward. Because that was the one I struggled with. Because I'm good at that bit of, God, you know, I could be in a nursing home one day. So don't short valve what you're at here. Don't short fuse it. This is good, right? And then I think, yeah, but how do you balance that with having to plan? And that's just keep looking forward. Don't look back. Only look back to congratulate yourself. To say, yeah, shit, and I could have done it differently. But I didn't.
Exactly.
And I'm here now.
You can beat yourself up all the time.
And let's see where we go. And I think that is, and that, you know, keeps the body and mind very healthy. You don't, and don't get me wrong, you do get days. I have to tell you, there was one Monday there, two Mondays before the American election, I thought, if Trump gets back in, what are we going to do? He's said he's going to put on tariffs. And the bit I don't like about Trump, of 101 things I don't like, I think the problem is he's going to be, you know, the clock that doesn't work is right twice a day, right? I think he's going to be right on a few things. I just think he is. But what I don't like is the ideology he's laying behind him, which is that toxic, I'm going to call it masculinity, but it's in women as much as it's in men.
I know what you're saying.
There's a toxicity that he brings with the party.
You
know, an awful kind of, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. And that, I don't like that bit. And that bit I'm more concerned about. But on that day, I got thinking, I was thinking, what am I going to do when the tariffs come in? But fortunately, I went out for a walk and I spoke to a mate of mine and I read something in the newspaper. I watched something in Gaza and I thought, Mary, now shut up. If that person can survive their house, how did these people survive their houses being blown to smithereens and living on the street and going in these caravans through the desert? Your man now telling them to go south and then go east and then go west. These people all pack up and go. How do you not end up in a mental asylum? And if they don't end up there, I won't end up there. So I'll keep moving.
Very few things are made worse by going for a walk or a workout. I always think of that as like, if you can get out and work out, or get out and have a walk or a run, very rarely, never, do you come back and go, oh, I feel worse. Yeah. Never.
And it's outdoors. I have to tell you, I can't do an indoor gym. Also, I have a very short retention span. So I don't often do things that are very repetitive. So walking is great because you can repeat it. You can do different walks.
A busy founder brain.
Yeah. Mad. I'd hate to live inside that head of mine.
Enterprise Ireland helps to support and fund a vibrant startup ecosystem, providing supports, insights and network connections to the most ambitious Irish startups. From expert advice to raising funding, exploring opportunities in international markets to strategic planning, Enterprise Ireland is here to support you in those important startup moments. For more information about how Enterprise Ireland can support you on your startup journey, visit enterprise-ireland.com. Enterprise Ireland, helping Irish startups go global.
We're going to do a quick fire round.
Okay.
What book would you recommend every entrepreneur should read?
None. Fiction. Fiction, fiction, fiction. Read as much fiction as you can get your hands on. Don't read any business books.
What's your favorite fiction book? Or what genre do you love?
Oh, Gabriel Garcia Marquez. I don't like the heat. I don't do well in the heat, but I will read anything that's Latin America or Indian. I'm into Japanese stuff lately. I love that stuff.
What was the name? Give me the name.
Anything with Garcia Marquez, Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Loving the Time of Cholera.
Loving the Time of Cholera. That's definitely a new recommendation.
Oh my God. Oh, he's loads. I've just finished one of his, The Colonel. They're dripping with heat. They just drip with dust and heat and parched earth. And I love it. Don't know why.
What's something you need to learn the hard way?
Patience.
What have you sacrificed to achieve your success?
14 years of my life. Yeah. But if you talk about it as a sacrifice, what have I got out of it? Has been triple the sacrifice. But yes, 14 years of my life.
What would you do today if I give you 10 million euro?
I'd take more risks in the business, because 100 million euro will not get me to where this brand needs to be. Not me. Because remember, I'm a single brand. So put it, a really good way of thinking of this is, I have to build the M50 to get one brand going. You can't do that. So 10 million wouldn't help the business, but 10 million would take the farm out of the business. It would take our personal life out of the business. I would take more risks. I would be down the path further, faster.
I like that answer. I'm going to give you 1 million. You can only invest in one person or one company, not yourself. Who is it?
I have three daughters. One of them as entrepreneurial as the next. Which of the three of them? I think they'll go into business together, she says, hopefully. Very, very capable. One of them's over in Notre Dame on that Nocton scholarship. Thank God for Martin Nocton. And she did engineering. She's into product design. The eldest girl is a genius. She's just, she's a genius. And the youngest little one is literary. She's doing philosophy and English. Fabulous, fabulous writer.
Good mix there. Three co-founders, a good mix of background. So you give the million to the three of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
They'd certainly make 50 million out of it.
If you'd start again in 2024, what business would you build?
I'd probably go into farming full time. Yeah, I think there's a trick in farming.
What's the trick?
Don't know. And I don't watch that fella, Diddley Squat Farm.
Clarkson's Farm.
Yeah, no, I do not watch that.
Maybe that's the trick, right? No. Maybe we start a media business. We film you for a year.
Yeah.
Mary's Farm. Tell you, that could be the trick. I'm a big believer in brands having media arms. Of course I am.
You're dead right.
That's what we can do. What do you believe that other people will find strange or strongly disagree with?
There's no rights without responsibilities. So you cannot claim to have a right without claiming a responsibility with that right. I'm really conscious of that in work. I have no right to be on that shelf without the responsibility that comes with being on that shelf. I have no right to hire you without the responsibility of understanding I can pay you. I have no right to buy those goods without the responsibility of realizing I have to pay for them. Can I just tell you a short story? I qualified as a chartered accountant. And every year you have to do these CPD hours. And every year they have this huge conference and it used to count for CPD hours. And two or three years in a row, they were bringing in fellas who'd gone bankrupt to talk. I thought, excuse me, that'd be like a loan consultant bringing in cigarette companies. Why are we bringing in people who cannot pay their bills to talk to accountants? That's the complete, I mean, that should be torture for us. So I handed over my professional. I rang the institute and said, I don't want to be a member. I couldn't believe, why would you bring people who were telling their story having not paid their bills? I'm not talking about going out of business. That's a different thing. Wrapping up your business responsibly. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Going out of business, there are no rights without responsibilities. So I think people would strongly disagree with that. And there's no utopia. I keep telling my girls, there's no utopia. And no, I'm aiming for it.
Well, I think everyone wants everything without the cost of paying the entry fee.
Yeah.
What's been your worst investment?
Cold swim.
What's been your best investment? I knew you were going to say that.
My best investment probably actually, it's a lovely little story. When I qualified as an accountant with Andersons, I was still living at home and I was in my mid-20s. And I started my job with Diageo, going around the world. And I decided I wanted to buy a house. And I saw this cute little house down in Donnybrook overlooking the Dodder. A beautiful little house. A little cottage, artisan cottage. And I said, I need to buy that. So I bought that. And as a result, we were able to build our house in Navan. But you know how I bought it? Fabulous guy. He went to America since, Owen O'Neill. His father had a hardware shop in Ranelagh. So if any of the O'Neills are listening, hello, this is Mary Sadlier. Your dad helped me. And I remember I needed a cash deposit at the time of 12 grand and I couldn't raise it. And his father gave me 12,000.
What was the connection to you?
His son, Owen O'Neill. Me and Owen were great mates. Just Owen worked in Citibank. One of the kind, this I'm telling you, these gestures happen in life. But I didn't have the right to take that without the responsibility of understanding, A, I had to pay it back.
Mm.
And B, I paid it back with bells on. I saved enough to give him back a little bit extra, just as a wow. Like, wow. Wow. And I didn't look at the 12 grand as he could afford it. I looked at it, what was the kindness that made a person give me 12,000?
Well, it shaped a huge part of your life. It shaped a big part of where you are now.
100%.
Those micro, it's like the butterfly effect, right? Butterfly flaps his wings.
So that potentially is the best investment. And the worst investment, fortunately, I tell you what we did. Mike Riley and I, when we had a little fund, invested in this woman. I will never forget, she was over in Galway. And she convinced myself and Mike, we put in 15 grand. And I had pushed the go button on the bank account and I realised that was going into an overdrawn account. I don't know what made me. And we never saw her or the money again.
No way.
Yeah. That was the worst investment. That was the worst. And Mike and I, and Mike is a gentleman. Honestly, you couldn't meet a more, Cool Swan has sprung three massive leaks on three different occasions. And I've had a lot of passengers on that boat. And when it sprung a leak, I turned around and there were two people on that boat. My husband and Mike Riley.
Both bailing the water out. Yeah. Everyone else in the lifeboats floating away.
You couldn't see them for the speed they were leaving. And I remember thinking, and that's what forms a lot of how you perform. Because the two of them were looking up at me saying, I believe you can sail this boat. I believe in you. Keep going.
We're not
going
to do it for you.
Keep going.
No rights or responsibilities.
Keep going. Yeah, we'll help. Keep going. And it wasn't just that they were bailing and saying, you're fucking, look what you've done to us. They bailed out on the basis of, we believe in you. Keep going.
What's your final piece of advice to every entrepreneur listening?
Stay ignorant. Stay curious. Stay looking forward. And there is no utopia. Don't even think about it. It's all a hustle. You got to hustle your way through it, man. Don't be worried of the hustle.
Where can people learn more about you and Cool Swan?
Buy a bottle. My whole life is in that liquid. Buy a bottle this Christmas.
Getting it off the shelf. I love it.
My whole life is in that bottle. You learn more from that liquid about me than you will from anything else.
Sit
it's
down and have a Cool Swan at Christmas and you'll Mary will be there in spirit.
Most certainly will. I might even pop into the front room. You never know.
If you see a woman just standing at the Cool Swan stand over Christmas, that could be her.
If you're old enough to remember the milk tray ad, do you remember your man used to swing in the window with a box of milk tray? Oh, if it happened now, he'd be arrested. What are you doing in my house at this hour of the night? So that'll be me.
With this Cool Swan, you're really spoiling us.
That's it.
Mary, that was absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on.
No, thanks, Gary. It was lovely. Really appreciate it. Great to meet you.